All right, get ready to dive deep. You guys sent in some really cool stuff on the Book of James, specifically a lecture by Dr. David Bauer, and we're going to unpack the very first verses. So get ready to kind of rethink what you thought about facing trials. Because, well, James says we should face them with joy.
Yeah, it is a pretty radical concept, especially for those of us who, well, we try to avoid trials at all costs, right?
Exactly right. But we're talking about James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and there's a lot in these verses. What really struck me right away was how Dr. Bauer points out how significant it is that James repeatedly refers to his audience as my brethren.
Yeah, it is way more than just a greeting. To really get the weight of that, you need to think about the early church. I mean, you know, these were people who were facing real persecution, social isolation, even danger for being Christians.
So to hear James, this leader, call you brother, it's like he's saying, hey, I'm right here with you.
Yeah, exactly. It creates this instant solidarity, like we're all in this together. You know, we're facing these trials as equals.
Which, actually, that leads perfectly into another point that Dr. Bauer makes. This idea that joy is different from happiness. You know, I've heard that before, but I'm not sure I ever really got it.
Yeah, it's subtle, but super important. Think of happiness like those, you know, good vibes you get when things are going your way. It's very circumstantial. Joy, on the other hand, runs much deeper.
So it's not about pretending everything is awesome when it's not.
No, not at all. James is talking about a joy that is rooted in something much deeper, something beyond just our immediate circumstances. It's a joy that can exist even in the midst of suffering.
Okay, so how is that even possible? I mean, how do you find joy in trials?
Well, James challenges us to see trials not as purely negative events, but as opportunities.
Opportunities for what?
For growth, for spiritual refinement. He uses the metaphor of refining metal.
Okay, yeah, I can see where he's going with that. You put metal through intense heat and pressure to purify it, to make it stronger.
Exactly. James is saying trials can do the same for our faith. They can burn away impurities and make us more resilient.
Uh-huh. But that still doesn't explain the joy part.
Well, imagine if you knew that every trial, no matter how painful, was ultimately working toward something good, something bigger than yourself.
I guess, yeah. I guess I could change how you viewed the situation. You'd be less focused on the immediate discomfort and more on the long-term transformation.
Exactly. And that shift in perspective, that's where we start to see the possibilities of joy, even in the midst of suffering. It's about trusting that God is using those trials to shape us, to refine us, to make us more like him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we're starting to see how trials can actually be these opportunities for growth, even for finding joy. But I gotta say, it still feels a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, it definitely goes against our natural inclinations. But Dr. Bauer points out that James doesn't just tell us to just grin and bear it. He gives us a really powerful tool for navigating those trials. Wisdom.
Right. And he doesn't just say, hey, go be wise. He actually tells us how to get it.
Exactly. James says if anyone lacks wisdom, they could ask God for it. And here's the kicker. He says that God gives generously to all without finding fault.
So there's no limit on wisdom. We can just ask and receive.
That's the amazing thing about God's grace. He's not stingy with wisdom. But there's a catch. James emphasizes asking in faith without doubting.
So it's not just about like rattling off a wish list. We have to actually believe that God can and will give us what we need.
Exactly. James uses this powerful image of a wave being tossed around by the wind to describe a doubter. It's this picture of instability, of being pulled in every direction.
So if we're constantly like second guessing God's goodness or his plan for us, it's going to be hard to receive his wisdom.
Yeah, think of it this way. You know, if you already have a cup that's overflowing, you can't really add anything to it. We need to come to God with an open hand, a humble heart, ready to receive.
Okay, so we ask in faith, without doubting. What's next? What does this wisdom actually look like, you know, in practice?
Well, Dr. Bauer emphasizes that James isn't talking about just head knowledge or philosophical pondering. True wisdom for James is deeply practical.
So it's not enough to just read the Bible or listen to sermons?
Not if it doesn't translate into action. James contrasts this true wisdom with, well, it's opposite, what he calls worldly wisdom. And he doesn't mince words here.
He calls it out for what it is.
He calls it earthly, unspiritual, demonic. He connects it to envy, selfish ambition, disorder, and basically every kind of evil.
Wow, strong words. Why is he so adamant about this distinction?
Because he knows firsthand the damage that worldly wisdom can cause. It leads to broken relationships, conflict, ultimately a separation from God.
So it's not just about being unwise. It can actually lead us down a dangerous path.
It's like a slippery slope. It starts with prioritizing the wrong things. Power, status, possessions. And it ends with us becoming, well, more and more self-centered.
Right.
And less connected to God.
So then what's the antidote? What does this true wisdom actually look like?
James describes it as pure, peace-loving, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere.
So it's not just about what we know, it's about how we live.
Exactly. True wisdom produces good fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those qualities that reflect God's character.
Okay, so we've got joy in trials, seeking wisdom from God, and understanding the difference between true and false wisdom. What else does Dr. Bauer unpack from these opening verses?
He brings up something that might seem surprising at first. The importance of listening.
Listening. How does that tie into facing trials with joy?
Think about it. When we're going through tough times, our first instinct is often to react, to complain, to lash out.
Totally guilty of that. But James is saying we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Precisely. He's saying, hold on, take a breath. Listen before you react. And he's not just talking about listening to other people, but listening to God.
So it's about pausing long enough to actually hear what God might be saying in the midst of the situation.
Exactly. It's about seeking his guidance, his perspective, before we jump to conclusions or make hasty decisions.
It's funny. We often think of wisdom as being all about having the right answers. But maybe it starts with asking the right questions, with being willing to listen and learn.
That's a great insight. True wisdom requires humility.
And Dr. Bauer connects this idea of listening to humility directly. He talks about how we need to get rid of all moral filth and humbly accept God's word.
It's like we need to clear out all the clutter in our hearts and minds, the pride, the anger, the bitterness, so that we can truly hear what God is saying to us.
So humility is key to facing trials well.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing our need for God, submitting to his authority, and allowing his word to transform us.
And Dr. Bauer is quick to remind us that God's word isn't just a bunch of nice sounding ideas. It's powerful.
Right. James calls it the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's saying this word has the power to change us, to heal us, to set us free.
Okay. This has been amazing. We've covered so much ground already. Joy in trials, wisdom, humility, listening. But there's still more to uncover, right?
Oh, absolutely. We've only just scratched the surface of what Dr. Bauer has to offer on these opening verses of James.
Well, you know what that means. We'll be back with part three to wrap up this incredible deep dive. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into James chapter 1. And we've been unpacking all this wisdom about finding joy in trials. But it's easy to get caught up in the theory, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's one thing to, you know, understand it in your head, but actually putting it into practice, well, that's where the real challenge is.
Right, exactly. And Dr. Bauer doesn't let us off the hook here. He really emphasizes that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Yeah, he's calling us out on that tendency we all have, you know, to just kind of nod along with the sermon or the podcast. And then we just go about our lives like nothing's changed.
Yeah, he even uses this analogy of looking in a mirror. You know, we see our reflection, we maybe notice a few flaws we need to fix, but then we just walk away and forget all about it.
It's like we're deceiving ourselves, thinking that just hearing the truth is enough. But James is saying, no, no, no. Real transformation happens when you take what you see and you actually do something about it.
So how do we move from simply hearing to actually doing? What does that look like, you know, when we're talking about facing trials with joy?
Well, Dr. Bauer, he gives us a few practical steps. First, he says we need to just accept that trials are inevitable. They're just part of the human experience, especially for those who follow Christ.
Yeah, it's like that saying, life is a series of problems. How you respond is what defines you.
Exactly, yeah. Instead of, you know, being surprised or resentful when trials come, we can shift our perspective and see them as opportunities.
Opportunities for growth, for refinement, for drawing closer to God.
Right, exactly. And it's not about denying the pain or pretending everything is fine. It's about choosing to see the potential good that can come from even the most difficult situations.
That's a really powerful reframing. Instead of asking, why me? We can ask, what is God teaching me through this?
Exactly. The second step Dr. Bauer highlights is choosing joy, even when it feels impossible. And remember, you know, we're not talking about that superficial happiness, the kind that comes and goes with our circumstances.
We're talking about that deep, abiding joy that's rooted in our relationship with God, a joy that transcends our circumstances.
Exactly. And that leads right into the third step, seeking wisdom from God. We can't navigate trials well on our own. We need his guidance, his strength, his perspective.
And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, we have to ask in faith without doubting and then be ready to receive what he gives us.
Yeah. And humility is so crucial in this process. It's about surrendering our will to God's will, trusting that he knows what's best for us, even when it hurts.
You know what strikes me? We're not meant to go through these trials alone. You know, we have the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's the beauty of the church. Yeah. We can encourage one another, pray for one another, and bear each other's burdens.
So what does this all mean for you, listener? As we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a challenge. What is one trial that you're currently facing?
Can you see it as an opportunity for growth rather than a setback? Can you choose joy, not because your circumstances are easy, but because God is good and he is with you?
Can you seek his wisdom and allow him to guide your steps? We believe you can. And as you continue your journey through James, we're confident you'll find even more practical wisdom for living out your faith in a world full of challenges and, yes, even trials. Thanks for diving deep with us.